Fuck do you work at, AD?
We'll talk about this later, man.
Good morning, Diego. It is your boy, Is Nefarious here. I'm here for the breakfast show. I got the breakfast going to the building. D-Lloyd in the building.
D-Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
D-D-D-D-Tier D-Lloyd is in the building.
D-plus tier, bro. The fuck?
Hey.
Upgrade. Anyway, what's good, PML fans? Your boy, D-Lloyd. We are back in another episode. It is divisional round week. I don't know what we're going to advance. Maybe it's possible.
It should be.
Maybe.
Hello, IG. I'll tell you now. 12 for the Chargers. Thursday afternoon. Or tonight. Oh, Thursday night. They'll get a time this afternoon. And then Lions Seahawks at noon. And then the other game was already played, which we will talk about.
H-tier HD is in the building. H-tier HD. We got C-tier Cookie Boy in the building. C-tier Cookie Boy.
C stands for coolest.
No, C stands for coolest.
That was actually very uncool. What's up, everybody?
This C stands for cock.
Hey, C stands for cool, bro. Don't let them...
C stands for cunt.
I didn't think it was cool.
C stands for predictable cunt.
For a predictable cunt. The P is silent. Welcome back to the show.
Redactable.
We are here. We are welcome to the predictable cunt breakfast show. We got a game we can talk about. The thing I want to talk about, I thought about it, is not spontaneous. Well, it is if you want to say. It is because I thought about it.
That's what we always talk about.
It was hours and hours before. What game?
The Jags Chargers. Things about that.
We didn't talk about that. So we can talk about that. Then we can talk about the games. Also the game that was played. Since we really didn't know who was playing who. And then also I wanted to talk. I thought about it this morning. I was like, take a look at the season one draft. See where they are now. Take a look at some of those top picks.
Neff must have somebody that he's glazing over.
No,
I really don't.
Neff didn't have any top picks.
I had no first round pick.
It don't got to be a first rounder, bro.
I got Devondre Sweat, and he's like 78, and he's not
right. There he is.
I'm not salivating over Devondre Sweat. I'm not sweating over Devondre Sweat. No pun intended. Actually, all
you definitely intended that.
But we'll talk about that later on as well to fill some air. But first, we got the games to talk about. The Chargers beat the Jags. And you watch this game as well as you, Cook. So you two could talk about it a little bit better than I can because I really didn't watch.
How do you know? I didn't know what.
You were in a meeting.
I don't need it.
I didn't watch it, but how do you know?
Because you say the same fucking thing every time. How do you know I didn't watch it? I didn't watch it, but how do you know?
How do you say it every time?
You say it every fucking time we're on air, bro. At some point, it just becomes second nature to say D-Lloyd didn't watch shit because D-Lloyd says he didn't watch shit.
Yeah, but today could have been a new day.
D-Lloyd was too busy running from the El Pasos.
Anyways, so the Jags in charge, they played a pretty close game, like, throughout. Like, no one really got much separation. Water was putting up a good fight. Like, he was moving the ball well offensively. Defensively, he was struggling to stop the run, and Coles was exploiting that a lot, especially in the first half. It got really interesting in the second half. It was through a pick to start the second half. Water, I think, the lead coach back. And at some point, Coates had he was in a tight game in the quarter, and it was at the goal line. It looked like Pierce was going to be held at the length. But on third down, he ran a screen pass to the running back, got a touchdown. And I remember watching the play before he called it. And I was like, he was like, third down, the ball did not. You normally don't convert that. But I saw the screen. It was something he didn't really blow the game. I was like, I actually like that play call. And it worked out for him. He got a touchdown. So he goes up by 7, about 3 left, 1-7. And Waters run a lot of POs all game, so some of them make some of them not. He tried to hit one at about a yard line. And Bodes, you picked it with Everson for 6, and that was pretty much easy to win with him. But yeah, I mean, Waters played a good game, but, you know, it's just those are small differences that can win and lose games that are huge plays. It's one play, but it's such a huge difference. And, you know, a huge difference in the tier of coaches sometimes, where it's like, yeah, Cole will be able to make that play. He'll be able to make that adjustment that someone who's been running RPOs a lot to eventually use her and take it away himself.
So, interesting enough, Water, there were rumblings about Water potentially stepping down from Jacksonville Jaguars because of her schedule. He was going to do it himself. There were rumblings about that, but we got clarification and clarity that is no longer happening. And he'll be sticking around.
I mean, that's good news. I mean, obviously, work comes first. But, I mean, Water's been a really good user for the league, gameplay-wise. He's not bad a lot because he works a lot. When he's there, he's used pretty chill. And like I said, the main thing in the gameplay, he's... Like, I played him week 5, I think, this year. It was a really good game, and like, I think he's a good member of the league. And in that AFC South, like, you know, Kieron's probably still got the edge on him, but it's a good addition to put in there with Kieron, D-Lloyd, and the Water in there.
Yeah, I played him even just setting up the games and stuff. He's been very respectful with everything. He hasn't cheesed anything on the field. You know what I mean? I like him, so...
Yeah, I like Water too. I think he's a good addition. You know, not Jazz as much as he liked to be. I think Silent and him both have kind of agreed that they haven't really been as much as they like to be. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. That always
hurts. You can't control work. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, Silent's like a couple weeks out from being like a fucking doctor. So that's what he does.
He might even be a doctor. I think he actually.
Yeah, I think he is a doctor, and he's getting something else. So yeah,
we have a whole medical crew in PML, man.
Yeah, I don't know what Silent does, but we just know that he works his fucking dick off.
We got a whole crew out here.
All I know about Silent is that he must be a doctor because he strictly removed that extra away from Burrow.
That was trash.
I believe in my friend.
Do you believe in team back?
Or
I mean, there's nowhere to put them now unless you're kicking.
Yeah, no.
If the Dallas Cowboys do not get a lot of content,
are we really going to? Yeah, that real.
I still don't see it happening, but I guess you put TV there.
Do you think you'd be good fit
for that division? Yeah, like it'll be hard for him to sell. Like he'd be the favorite to win that division.
See the issue much. With HD kind of said, you know, he doesn't see it happening with drama, and that's the main issue. And why I think it has to happen more so than it doesn't.
No, just because no one believes it actually will happen.
No,
just because it hasn't happened.
No, it's not public perception. It's drama perception at this point. I think drama has a false sense of nothing's ever going to happen to him, that he's above certain.
I mentioned it all the time. He's gotten through with 3 or 4 suspensions already. If I was drama, I'd think the same thing.
I mean, you know, he said it blatantly. Oh, fuck the blowout rule. I'm going to score here because I think it should have been a 3-3 game. Or I'm going to do this because I think this. Like, obviously, he puts himself above the rules. And sometimes, you know, he sometimes puts out good clips, good content. But at a certain point, it's like you can't think you're above the rules and what the league is. And that's why I'm saying if he is negative, it has to happen. Because then...
Oh, he is negative. We know that.
No, but I'm saying like at the end... I'm saying at the end of the cycle, at the end of the Super Bowl, if he's still negative, and that's when JT draws his line, it has to happen. You can't sit there and say, yeah, you know, we like drama, let's keep him around, because he's already got this false perception that he's above the rules. And, you know, obviously doesn't pay attention to announcements and all that good stuff. So,
hey man, at least if he goes out, he went out like a G.
I'm pretty positive he was negative going into this season and nothing happened.
Yeah, I don't know if he was negative or not going into this season. I'm just at the point where certain people think they're above the rules and things like that. And, you know, until you start squashing some of that, it could lead to worse habits besides just ignoring it, announcements completely and playing your player that was just trying to.
You can't blame him because it's like he had the blah rule versus Burn. He had the fourth down rule against me. He had another fourth down rule. And nothing happened. So it's like, if you're drama, why should you be worried? Yeah, he's got hit.
What are you talking about? He did get suspended for like a fourth down rule and a blowout rule.
A fourth down rule, yeah, but there's two others and a blowout rule he didn't get hit for. And it's just like,
I know he didn't get hit for this situation.
Why am I like, oh, what's going to happen to me? I keep getting by with these little rules. If I'm negative, no one can even know if I'm negative anyway besides JT unless I tell them. So it's like, what the fuck's going to happen to me? Why should I care that much? I keep getting by.
So that situation that happened against you is kind of a weird area because it's
written down rule. It's straight up. You can't go for it up 17.
There's a lot of rules in the fucking PML handbook that are not active or not
but
right.
Why isn't
I told,
that,
I,
why
I told
isn't
JT.
That, why isn't that said, hey, this rule's outdated. This rule does not. Belong.
There's plenty of rules outdated. I told JT
they should be announced. Like, hey, this rule is not a rule anymore.
I told JT that he should honestly just take the rules section of the PML website and put it under maintenance until we get it updated. That's the best way to cover
right now, there's not shit going on. One of the commissioners, you could all grab a section and fucking get to work.
Yeah, Matt, that. You're not in the postseason. Katie's not in the postseason. CB's
I'm
not
in
the
postseason. I am making great fucking battle rap videos for JT after he smoked me on his. I'm also putting in some work in the lab trying to get some fucking ethers and shit going JT's way. Don't worry.
No.
Stuff is not
the
coming.
The longer it takes for you to respond, the less it matters.
Yeah, that's true.
I responded right away, man.
Fuck him. Fuck him. That's just scary, though, bro. The AI stuff is fucking motherfucker. Cool as shit. My friend doesn't.
Like, you're taking 10 days to do this, and JT's already got a response right here.
You got the second album done, bro.
Bro, that's crazy. He's got the second album done, bro. You just left the lab, bro. Take some time off. Let this one settle. That's
wild.
Yeah,
bro, working hard out here, bro. He's preparing for the response.
Yep. Oh, no, he said that's from the OG album. All right.
No, but the second album's in process right now.
By the time you get your diss track out, that second album.
He's got to do his JC album, bro. He's got his JC album coming out. You got the Cammy, the Neff. Yeah. He's got to get the JC album coming out.
Side door, deliver to side door. No one in the front door.
Yeah, deliver to the side door. All right, please. Don't fucking put it in the front porch. Side door.
Don't you dare put that shit on the front porch. Bro.
Side door, HD. But no, I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. You know, if drama ends up in the negative, do you think T-Bandit's a good fit there? Because like I said, at a certain point, something's going to give certain people like have a false sense of security. And when I say that, like, you could have a false sense of security, but at least abide by all the rules and, you know, have that false sense of security. Like, cool. But when you're testing the rules and saying nothing's really going to happen consistently, then it's kind of a bad thing.
So it's like what T-Bandit was doing before he got removed?
What was he doing?
I mean, he was breaking 10-10 rule and all that. Then he started missing games, whatever. But he was consistently running the ball 10 times.
I don't remember a lot of 10-10 rule breaks this cycle.
He might be the person that breaks the 10 rule.
Yeah, I could say that, but that was a lot of it was last cycle. Yeah. I could say it happened a lot last
cycle. Yeah. Josh Allen was missing in action a lot last cycle.
10-10 rule this cycle, though, it's only happened like a handful of times. And I think T-Bandit might have been one of those.
I mean, as far as people to take the Cowboys, like T-Bandit might be the only person in the server that's an option.
Hey, Bacon.
Yeah, bro. Bacon says Wi-Fi's not. He says Wi-Fi's not good until July, man. But
he said he moved out. He moved out of bad Wi-Fi. He's ready to rock.
Nah.
I don't know if you guys ever heard back from Bacon's no different.
Bro, fuck that guy.
But how's
Bacon no different than anybody else?
T-Bandit ain't here. Bubba ain't here.
I could give you one big difference than with all three of those. Okay. I could give you one big difference. Two of them have been paying Patreon to stick around. One has not.
Yep, that's true.
Even if they might have not been here in chat, they paid their Patreon to help keep funding this league. So all the stuff that we use, it's funded and good. And the other one said, nah, fuck that. I am not paying if I don't have a team. And y'all could eat a dick and thank you for the free PlayStation. That's basically what the other one said.
Was that his reason? Was his reason, I don't have a team, so I'm not paying?
I don't know what his reason was, but if you wanted, I'm giving a team to whoever sticks around and pays the Patreon over somebody that doesn't. Especially if we're giving it to somebody that's already been here. Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. Jack's not coming. I'm okay with Jack. That's me personally. That's just me personally. I'm speaking on my opinion. I can't say that it's not going to happen. I'm not saying that, you know, no way in hell Bacon gets a team. I'm just saying if I'm making the decision, no, Bacon's not getting a team.
You're not here anymore.
There's obviously a reason. So we keep going to new people rather than bringing back those guys anyway. I mean, might as well keep up the trend and bring back somebody from old cycles rather than fucking someone that we just removed.
The point is, like, if you have any loyalty to the league, you would be still in being chat and paying Patreon.
Hey, speaking of someone that's still in the Discord, imagine if we put CEO with the Cowboys as much as he hates drama.
I think he hated the Cowboys too, though.
CEO sitting there like, you know what? I think I should come back.
Yeah.
I think I should come back. I just wanted to ask about a fit. If we're bringing in somebody that's currently not paying Patreon to come take the team, I want somebody new then. But the Chargers won. They move on to the next round. So it's the Chargers versus the Patriots, and then it's the Browns versus the Chiefs. On the AFC, NFC side of things, it was the Vikings and the Rams, the Seahawks and the Lions. And the Vikings and the Rams have played already. And we have Cook on the building. Cook. Talk about your game a little bit.
I like how we just skipped the Saints-Lions game, bro. We didn't get a detailed breakdown on that.
Okay. huge win by Fallen.
Huge win by Fallen. Upset of the playoffs so far.
Hey, not only did Fallen get a free win, he also got a dev from it.
Yeah. Did he actually dev too?
He did.
Who got the dev?
The Saints ran for like 50 yards. I don't know who got the dev, but someone, you can go up in the chat.
That's fire. Hey, shout out.
Reggie Grimes went from normal to star.
Who the fuck is Reggie Grimes, bro?
Defensive lineman.
That's fire.
Yeah. No, the Saints clamped up 24-10. Max Duggan ran the ball 11 times for 25 yards. Like, I don't know what JC was doing that game.
Nah, bro. All right, anyway, now that we got the upset of the playoffs out the way, what happened in the Vikings Rams game at Rams house?
Well, if you look at the initial score, you probably would not be able to tell right away. Now, that game went to overtime. But the way we got to overtime was pretty wild. I kind of felt like someone had a voodoo doll on me throughout that game because there was some weird stuff going on. I was trying to throw away the ball, got hit, and Marcus Davenport, of course, was in the right place to pick the ball off and ran 80 yards for a touchdown. So that was a
what you're saying is that the washing machine should think his lucky stars that Madden made it only a six point loss and not a 32 point loss.
I mean, you've interrupted me a sentence in, but anyways. So after that, I mean, the game was close. When we got down to the goal line, I don't remember what the score was at the time, but he ended up throwing a pick at the goal line to my defensive back, Kobe Durant. And then, like, I got stuck in an animation where he was trying to break a tackle. And he got one of those, like, secondary hits that's definitely not legal in the NFL, but we went at it, that forced a fumble. And he got the recovery after he got an interception at the goal line. Next play, he scored a touchdown with Justin Jefferson. And it was just like, all right, cool. That tied the game up in the fourth quarter. I was able to drive the field. Then on a five, had an under pressure, poor accuracy pass. So a wide open Puka that we got on a first down. So I had to take a field goal. So go up by three. Got to play some defense. And when he was driving downfield, he got to the red zone, got towards the goal line. I think it was right at
massive goal line stand.
Even before that, so like he got to the goal line. It was first down and goal, like the 9 yard line with 2 minutes left, and he ran a jet sweep, and it was about to be a touchdown. He was at like the half yard line, and Devon Jackson just smashed Jordan Addison, fumble, and I was able to get the recovery. Except Madden didn't really think so because, it was a fumble at the 1 yard line. He was about to score the go ahead touchdown. We forced the fumble. It bounced towards the sidelines. And my guy, like, kind of recovered it inbounds, but not really. And Madden's determination of that was to give Wimmy the ball at his own 20 yard line when it's supposed to be a touchback. It doesn't matter whether I recover the ball or not. It's a touchback either way if it bounces out of bounds. But they give me the ball at his own 20 yard line. And I was so dumbfounded, I did not even pick a play. I was trying to figure out, like, why the fuck does he have the ball?
And that's, like, fucking wild.
And, like, Wimmy picked the play so fast, too.
No. Before you keep going, Wimmy was a good guy in the overseas, right?
No.
What a piece of shit.
He picked a play right away.
What a piece of shit. Fucking shitty, Wimmy.
Yeah, so I actually got stuck in a bad defense that he ran back-to-back plays on and, like, moved into field goal range on off.
My God. And then he hit you with back to hurry up while you were in a bad defense. Yo, he is a piece of doo-doo. I thought Wimmy had more respect. I can't believe this. Wimmy, you better get in this chat right now, you fucking piece of doo-doo.
So, like, even if Wimmy had scored that touchdown, like as the 2 minute warning hit, I was like, all right, I'll get the ball. I'll be able to control my destiny of all my timeouts. It is what it is. But as Wimmy was driving downfield, it was suddenly becoming apparent that this drive is going to make or break the game. Like, he was down three, but if he gets a touchdown, he was going to leave me no time. So, you know, I didn't have a choice to use all my timeouts. Like, he was just milking it. So, he ended up getting to the goal line again with not much time left. And, I think he passed the ball three straight times, which was a little surprising. But he passed it three straight times, wasn't able to get into the end zone, wasn't able to get forward any of those three plays. And he had to kick a field goal on fourth down with, like, 5 seconds left. Try to ice him, you know, just in case he misses a chip shot. He did against Hefe, but he made the field goal. And we ended up going to overtime. I won the coin toss, and I deferred the coin toss because, you know, unlike the San Francisco 49ers, we know the overtime rules, so we know what we're doing here. So we give Wimmy the ball first, and, he ends up getting a third down and two right away, and he ended up throwing an interception on that third down. He tried to throw a post route, and it was – or not a post route. I forget it, but a crosser. He's trying to throw a crosser, and it got picked off. And I got the ball at, like, the 40-something yard line, so it wasn't really field goal range. Like, I still needed some more yards to get a field goal, plus you got to factor in the ice. But first play after I got the ball, I hit Cooper Kupp. He got to the 9-yard line, hit him on a corner route real quick. He ran man coverage, so that was easy pickings. And from there, you know, I was going to run the ball. If I had to kick the field goal, I had to kick the field goal. But you always wanted to avoid the ice while you can, because you never know if someone's going to block a kick or something like that. So, you know, put on conservative, ran the ball on first down, and ended up getting a touchdown with Antonio Gibson to win the game. But, there was some real fuckery going on that game, but, you know, I still got to take my cat to win me because he played a really good game. And, both of us were on it defensively. My secondary was making a lot of plays. His pass rush was making a lot of plays. Dallas Turner ended up with 3 sacks, and I don't want to see Dallas Turner for, like, a while.
Oh, so a good win from Cook. Trying to keep that streak alive. Won the first 2 Super Bowls. Let's see if he can get the third, make it a triple or a hat trick.
I will say that, you know, the three-peat almost ended on, you know, that fumble on the touchback, that weird rule. I was like, that would be a sick way for it to end. Like, it is what it is. Like, that's out of my control. But I was like, that would have been a sick way for it to end. Like, I'd rather lose a game because it's my fault than because of stuff that's Madden's fault. And I felt like a lot of stuff that was happening was not my fault. Like, there was nothing I could do about a lot of it. So
that would have been some sick home material.
Yeah, like, when you lose the game, when it's on you, it's like, all right, like, you know, you can't be mad. Like, you lost the game, and that's all right. But you lose the game because of Madden. Like, if I lose because Christian Watson mosses me with 4 defenders on him, it's like, well, shit. Man. Like, what else
I'm probably going to. Did you go back and watch Wimmy's end of that bonk, you know, the botched play?
To see
and, like, see what he had to, like, no. See what he had to say. Like, if he knew that it was wrong and still didn't, like, do anything about it, I'd be pretty upset.
I mean, I don't know. It was just, like, such a bang-bang moment where, like, I was like, wait, he has
the ball? It wasn't that bang-bang, because then he fucking ran up on you and said, fuck you, bitch. We're going to eat twice.
I was saying it was such a bang-bang thing where it's, like, he picked the play really quick, and I was, like, trying to process why the fuck he had the ball, and then you only have, like, 10 seconds bigger defense to play. And I didn't pick my play in time. I was still trying to figure out why the fuck I didn't have the ball. And I got stuck in, like, a double A gap defense that he ran, like, hurry up on the next play, which I probably should call a timeout on that. But
that's almost as bad as drama throwing that 4th and 5 and getting the first down when the ball just fell incomplete. And they're like, yeah, 1st and 10, Cowboys, when it should have been a pick and it fell incomplete. It's like, Jesus Christ, that's almost as bad as that. This game is just broken.
Hey, man, I will say, Wimmy did tell me after the game, he was like, I would have felt bad if I won off of that, but he also didn't, you know, give me the ball back.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have been like, damn,
you knew it was wrong. Nah, if you know it's wrong, then at the end of the game, you got to say that, then you know better that you should have given
that
ball back.
That motherfucker said, damn, that would have been crazy, but have a good off season, bro. That was wild.
I'll do this for you.
They did you wrong, bro. They did you wrong, but this is for you, baby.
Seahawks in your honor, buddy.
Like, the one thing I could have done in that moment was pause the game and just be like, hey, bro, you got to give me the ball back or something like that. I just didn't want to be that guy to force the issue. Also, it was just not a big thing, right? You don't have much time.
Listen, in a regular season game, I'm still doing that.
Yo, you know what's crazy?
I wouldn't do it either.
But this is something D-Roy said before.
Yeah, I wouldn't
do it. All
right, yo. I'll go. But the one thing Deloitte said, like, a while ago on the breakfast show with the JC situation, sometimes you got to let people make those decisions themselves.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
We learned that Wimmy is a piece of poo. He's a piece of poopy.
Wimmy has that no integrity crazy. Coming from
no. The one thing I want.
Wimmy's still one of my favorite people in the league, man.
Yeah, okay. Wimmy is on the notebook right next to that other person's name.
You know what's fucking wild about the whole situation about him actually reaching out and knowing it was wrong?
And he still lost.
You did not know. You didn't have to run hurry up immediately after that to keep me in a bad defense. Like, you doubled down on being a piece of shit when I didn't get to pick my defense, and then you ran hurry up. It caught me in a bad defense.
He didn't know he was. Like, how would he know that I didn't pick my defense, you know?
when the time hit zero and you still didn't do nothing. Yeah. I mean, you can tell when someone doesn't pick their defense.
Yeah, but sometimes you get it in at the buzzer. Well, you can't tell.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
Y'all are really on this witch hunt right now, though.
I heard it. Listen, I'm not on the witch hunt. I just said what I had to say, bro. If you had to say that after the game, you knew it was wrong, then you're in the wrong. I mean, there's win or lose. You should have did what was right.
Crazy times. I never thought I'd see an integrity issue.
Well, it was funny. I seen somebody in chat be like, oh, I would have paused it until he punted me the ball back. It's like all he had to do was unpause it in 30 seconds. We're playing again. So that would have done nothing. Like, oh, Cook paused it. Damn, let me unpause it.
Yeah, I mean, if you, like, if I send a message, like, in Discord, like, there's a chance he sees it. So, like, that's what would happen. Like, you pause and then you send them a message.
I've done that. I've paused and I've, like, told people, like, hey, just give me a minute. And they've unpaused. I'm like, dude, you got to at least have Discord, like, closed or tabbed down so you can see the one pop up. Like, oh, he needs me. Like, he needs a second.
Yeah,
it will just close it entirely, and it's like that's I get what you're doing, but like if I need something during the game, unless they pause it,
it, I'll be like, okay, let me look. Oh, yeah, they're saying something.
Exactly.
It's the first thing I do, I think
somebody pauses it. That's the first thing I do.
Yeah, I think it's basic etiquette regardless if someone pauses the game. In a CFM, like if it's Reds, it's different. But we're in a CFM. Like, there has to be a respect level that if someone pauses it. You give them the time until they unpause the game, and you know they're probably going to send you a message if they're taking more than like a minute.
Yeah, those guys is like obviously like you know if it's just random part during the game, the guys that just unpause immediately. I'm just like, bro, like I'm trying to do something. Like, give me 2 minutes. Like, that's normally what I do. Like, I have Discord open on the side. I have it minimized, but I have it open, and normally, like if you pause it, I won't touch anything until you unpause. But if you're taking like 3-4 minutes, then I'll pull it over and be like, hey, like, are you all right? Like, you know, what do we got to do? But yeah. No, most of the time, if someone pauses it, just don't touch it until they unpause it. Unless you're getting blown out, you don't want to wait, then just unpause it so they can, you know, get the game over with.
People have different setups. Like, I have multiple monitors. So I have Discord on one that I can look at all times. Some people, like, they might not look at their computer while they're playing the game. You know,
I'm going to start messaging you on Discord during your games.
Yeah, some people play on the TV. So it's like, you know,
I don't know how people.
I'm in the living room for the most part now. No, I am.
Listen, not only do they play on TVs, bro. Like, look at CEO. He's playing like a 50-inch that's fucking hung on the ceiling.
You know what? No wonder.
How do you do that?
For camera angles, wondering why he can't see shit. It's like, bro, your TV's too big, bro. Get a smaller TV,
bro. So you can see the field. Listen, if you play on a TV, cool. Make it like a 30. But if you're playing like a 50 or 60-inch, you're not getting shit done. Although I do kind of like it sometimes.
You will be upset to know I am playing in the living room on a 75-inch on the couch with kids running around with only my phone and TV.
So I will say you're a psycho for playing while sitting. If I'm in the living room on the TV, I'm standing the entire game.
What the fuck?
I'm standing the entire game.
No.
If I'm sitting back on my couch, if I'm sitting back on my couch, I'm too relaxed and I shouldn't be playing.
You're the psycho in this situation.
And honestly, that's why I kind of want a standing desk, just because like when I stand, I'm into the game more. Like I don't know what it is.
I have a standing desk when I work, but my thing is like maybe you're onto something because I am 4-13.
Bro, I'm just let's play while standing one time, like bro. I will get into the game.
I used to stream my camera up there while I'm standing,
bro. You'll see me fucking hype. I'll be screaming in the house, dude. My wife's looking over. She's like, oh, what happened? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Like, don't worry about it. Drama just lost me.
Bro, she watched me play drama once. I think it was a game I blew him out, and she just giggled. I'm like, that's my friend. Don't laugh at him. Man, dude, try that. Try standing. Try getting immersive.
I did for, like I said, when I streamed, I was standing because my desk is a standing desk. So when I'm at, like,
didn't you have to stand? Like, you got that because you needed to stand during your games?
You don't know.
I have to stand during my game?
The desk, they're the mechanical, so you could put them up and down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I was asking, like, did you, like, do that because you, like, you need to stand during your games? Or
me? No.
No, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, no, no, I don't need a stand. I just do it because I have a stand and it's easier for me to, like, stay engaged. Like, when I stand up, I'm more, it. Like...
Well, yeah, see? That's a real thing.
And when I'm talking and stuff like that, when I'm streaming, it's just a little bit easier. But I also know, like, I wouldn't do it if that I knew I was streaming for, like, 3 hours or some shit. They'll have me, yeah, I would absolutely just sit down, bro.
Or go, but if I know
I'm just streaming for an hour, hour and a half, I can just stand up for it.
Up and down, probably if you're doing a longer one. But yeah, I, my wife has a standing desk, but right now, my daughter's not in daycare, so she's at home, so she's got to work in the living room, so I moved all of her stuff up there. And I'm like, just so you know, I was like, I'm just going to end up taking your desk and eventually just using it.
Like, it's just sitting there collecting dust. Having a standing desk while you have kids is lovely while you're working. Because the amount of times I got to do a meeting or just record something, and my kid is at, like, by my foot, but nobody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my daughter gets on the dining room table and stands back there.
Yeah, I don't have a standing desk, but
he's
I do
having a fucking dance party on the fucking table.
I have my computer can be raised up or down, so I'll raise it up when I'm doing a commentary or like doing a.
Do you want to say that again?
I'll stand up doing that.
AG, do you want to say that again so I could record it? Because I'm calling protective services on your ass.
We're recording a podcast right now.
Yeah, bro. There's nothing wrong with your kid standing on the table.
Get him off the table.
Unless you're an asshole parent. I mean, that's probably the only problem.
All right, maybe you are.
Yeah, no, kids stand on tables, man. You can't stop them.
You could tell Neff doesn't have any sibling or nieces or nephews or kids or anything because he's just like, that's so dangerous. Like, bro, my kid will jump off that fucking table if you let her.
You're missing the whole joke to it, but okay.
There is no joke.
There is a joke to
you're
it.
You're just uninformed.
I'm uninformed.
Just wait. In a couple weeks, JT's kid's gonna be on the fucking table while he's doing the immersion system.
It's crazy. JT won't allow that shit to happen. Get the fuck off that table, you little bitch. That's what JT would say.
What the hell?
Shit. Okay.
Bro, listen. So
Daddy's trying to do this diss track to the NFC South. Get off the fucking table.
Listen, that happened. It was an accident, though. So my father-in-law, he my daughter's nickname starts with a B, and he sticks his hands out. He says, oh, come here, little bitch, instead of saying her actual nickname. And we all looked at him and started dying fucking laughing, bro. Because he said it so sweet and nicely. Anywho, now, you want to talk about what you want to talk about? You know, we're all done with our stuff. trying to fill air while you disappear.
Seahawks and Lions.
12 o'clock today, noon.
So what's the prediction there? The line is minus 12. I took
That's crazy that line is smaller than the line between me and Wimmy.
That is crazy. That's something that was pointed out
yesterday, because we were talking about Neff's point of the shitty divisions. He said every single playoff game, or three of the four playoff games right now, are double-digit spreads. And it's just like, I don't know if that's just A-Rod or if that's, like, how it actually matches up.
I think that's A-Rod, and I think he's
that's
got really
A-Rod, because Wimmy should not have been double-digit.
I think playoff games are, like, I think if this was a regular season game, I think Z would probably blow out Fallen, but I just feel like playoffs, he's kind of going to take it a little slower. So I feel like the spread's got to be a little closer in the playoffs. It's the playoffs, dude. It's a slower-paced game, in my opinion. It's not shots and everything like that, you know, unless it's obviously there or mixed up. But it's just like, dude.
You did not see my playoff game then.
Dude, you only lost by 12.
I know, but I was saying it was like 54 to like 48.
It's going to be high scoring. You know, it could be high scoring, but I just feel like they're a lot closer. Mistakes are minimized in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, it's an interesting line. I do think the Seahawks will win by more than 12, though. I do think that they'll cover that spread.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I'm taking Detroit plus
12. I don't.
Yeah, I don't. You know, with that being said.
With that being said, I'm taking Detroit plus 12. What are your thoughts on the game, Cook?
I mean, I expect Z to win the game. I expect Z to cover the spread. I mean, Z's been surgical since, like, he lost his first two games and literally has not lost since. Is Fallen going to be the guy to knock him off his plateau? Probably not. Especially well, without Chris Jones. Like, with Chris Jones, that whole defensive line just gets crazy pass rush. Yeah. And without him, it's just like, you know, if you're not going to get to Z in time, he'll make his reads.
That's the one thing, too. If Ed's going to get blown out in the playoffs, it's going to be the Detroit Lions or the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys blew out the Detroit Lions, too. So there's that.
It could also be the Chiefs.
Chiefs going to get blown out? When did the Chiefs get blown out?
Well, they just got blown out week 18 of the same team that they play today. So,
maybe.
And yes, you could be like, oh, it's a meaningless game. But yeah, but like, even if you're both playing, you know, even if you're both playing backups, it's still a level, like an evil level playing field. And it's like, you still let him beat you by 31 points.
Has KMFO even been in chat lately?
KMFO.
He's on vacation.
He took his system with him, but like, so he said he's going to try, he's able to play tonight. But I just, so I'm not gonna lie. I put money on KC moneyline just for a simple fact that if his connection is shitty, I think Maggi can take control of that.
Absolutely.
So I'm playing the connection game.
I hope that he's not in chat that much. And he's on vacation. Don't be in chat.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's popped up here and there, but that's the only thing too. Yeah, someone said, who was it? A-Rod? I made a joke. I was like, oh, how does your availability change based on who you play? Because he's like, oh, well, if Jags win, I could do this. And, you know, A-Rod's like, oh, he's got a scout. I said, if you're on vacation and you're scouting, you're fucking sick. Like, I know, like, there's a we call him sick for what he does during the regular season. But if you're on vacation doing it, you're, like, physically, mentally sick. Like,
and we need to check him into we got to check him into a place, is what you're saying.
There's a difference between mad and sick and legitimate sick.
We play in a league where we lose money instead of, like, winning money no matter what. Like, we're losing money to the Patreon fee every time. We're not winning anything.
So you're saying –
stop spreading that narrative.
No, so what you're saying is we're not getting what we pay for. That's crazy.
Hey, bro, I got a gold name. I have a gold Discord name to show for
being a champion.
To
pay for.
He is the champion. Get what you pay for.
I'm calling the Better Business Bureau.
So speaking of –
my friend Nathal was right. You don't get what you pay for in your Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Yelp review. Patreon review. Speaking of the Chiefs getting blown out, we got the Browns and the Chiefs. The line is 15.5, plus 15.5 to the Chiefs, which I thought was totally idiotic. Totally idiotic. The last time they played a meaningful game, it was a 3-point game. Now, the Chiefs didn't look great, but getting blown by 2-plus scores, I don't think he'll be that bad.
See, I think he's going to go into what I said, and like, because he got blown out week 18. Now, I'm not saying Maggi will, but I'm saying he could get blown out. But making the spread that big, you know, if he did, based off that game, rather than like you said, that they played a nice, meaningful game last time, I mean, it's a little – I don't know. All these games being 2-score fucking spreads. I mean, what's the spread for the Chargers game? Like 9? Might as well.
No, it's 5. It's five.
I thought it was 9.
If anything, I mean, think that might even be a little bit bigger.
Yeah. I'll say, I mean, about the Chiefs, Maggi in the playoffs, like, his games have been, like, his opponents when he loses, or even that Caron game where he almost lost, or we should have, like, there have been scores in the 30s and 40s, and, like, that has to get cleaned up. Like, you can't be giving up 30s and 40s. Are we talking about defense wins championships and, like, if he's going to be able to beat KMFO, I mean, KMFO might be the exception. You got to get into a shootout against him. But, like, otherwise, like, that, like, he's got to force some turnovers.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah.
But at least he has the offense to keep up with it. Like, he's not getting blown out in any of these games. Like, he's got Mahomes.
And he got Mahomes in the bag. I mean, I feel, I don't think he had Mahomes the last time they played. But, like I said, there was also week. 18. I don't think it was much else to fucking play for. And him being on vacation, KMFO, and that being like in his, you know, his comfortable element, I would say. I just think that's a tough spread to have. I do think everybody will think, you know, the Browns are the favorites, but I don't know about 15-point favorites.
Yeah, and plus you got to factor in that, you know, the Chiefs have Pacheco, and we saw what kind of difference maker Pacheco was. Like, he won that game against the Texans at the end. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have Pacheco the first two postseasons. So, you know, he's got a squad.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. I think the 15 and a half is a little ridiculous, like we said. A-Rod Spurs has just been awful this cycle. Just fucking easy.
I think they've gotten better. I think there's one or two every week, but I think for the most part, I think they've gotten a little better as we've gone on. There's not as many to pick from for bad spreads. I mean, there's not as many, but there's definitely still some.
According to A-Rod spreadsheet, Sportsbook is still giving up 348 points this season, which is a lot.
Nice.
That factors in that parlays have been taken away and stuff like that. So, Sportsbook's still getting ran through.
Damn. You look at
Sportsbook. You know what I noticed? You can't see the cycle numbers anymore.
Oh, he took those away?
Yeah, but that might be because there's so many weeks on there already. So when the new season starts, it'll probably be back. There's because he's showing weeks 1 through 18, so that's probably why it.
Last time we seen it, what was it at? Like fucking 1800.
You could probably scroll up in the sports book and see if it's on.
Yeah, like 1800.
I'll pull it up. Let's see. Last one that had cycle. Cycle. The bettors are up 1400.
We could be looking at a 3000 point mark.
I mean, he just said if Wimmy would have won that game, it would have been over.
He said a shit ton. It would have been
done for the cycle.
Really?
I mean, he had him at like plus 2500 odds, didn't he?
The Vikings were plus 575.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was higher than that.
I mean, it's still pretty high.
Oh, it was. I mean, last week was 1200.
For a playoff game?
That is.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm putting them that high for the money line.
I did take the Vikings plus 14. I'll tell you that much. I got a four game parlay for 3 for 36, and I took the Vikings in that.
I took Cooks to fucking win by 14, and this fucking pussy almost lost.
That's crazy. But
I hate that guy.
Moving on the AFC side of things, the Patriots and the Chargers, which should be a phenomenal matchup to watch. What do you guys got in that game? It's plus 5.
I think Sanders, no. Hutchinson's out for the playoffs. He's out 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know Sanders out for. I know Sanders is hurt too.
I think Sanders is out till the championship game or something.
Yeah. I play both this season. But I'm gonna take the Chargers. I think the Chargers are gonna win this one.
I think so too.
I feel like that team – I mean, both teams are really good, you know what I mean? But I feel like the team with Coles right now and how he's playing with Herbert, I think he'd get it. I trust Herbert more than
Riley Leonard.
Even though Dot himself is a good passer, Leonard's going to miss a couple throws. You know what I mean? Just because.
Has he been – I feel like I haven't seen him miss throws like
that. He missed a ton. We just played – against me, and I feel like in our game, his completion percentage was really low.
I'll say that, you know, both of these guys put themselves in a position to lose last week, so it's kind of awkward. So, like, you know, the Patriots were down to the Broncos until the last 10 seconds. Codes was, you know, in a tie game with 4 minutes left. And again, we expected them to win. So, you know, both guys are not coming off of good performances. Maybe they both dodged a bullet. Well, yeah, not any guy looked like world beaters in that first round. But I think it'll just make for a close game since neither guy is look dominant. I would take the Patriots just because, I mean, history has proven that Dot pulls out these close playoff games even when he's not supposed to so far this cycle.
Yeah.
That's why I would lean towards Dot. Obviously, wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers win. You know, he is in Rams' house this week. You know, we're leasing him.
Rams' house.
he's got the advantage there. We'll try to send some of our Rams fans there since the Chargers have no fans to help him out. But I still think the Patriots will win.
Yeah, I got the Patriots. I don't even know about like even mentioning the fucking spread because it could be a close game or like it's still a one score game. I think so. I think SP is just what I'm trying to think of the word because I don't want to make it sound like fucking Code sucks or he's on like I feel like SP is just like kind of on a different level than a lot of people. I think Codes is one of those people. I think he'll just simply get outplayed, outcoached.
Yeah. I mean, if the Chargers do win, like I think it'll be, you know, that quarterback matchup that determines it.
Like I wouldn't be surprised if Codes won, but I feel like it would have to be because SP messed up.
Yeah, it would have to be like Riley Leonard's not making throws, Herbert is making throws, that kind of
thing. Yeah.
So it's gonna be an interesting matchup.
It'll be a really good game, though.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the Chargers in this one. I think this year is the coach's year. He's feeling good. He's playing good. So we'll see if it actually is though.
I was actually thinking about Z. I was thinking the same thing about Z. If he could get past, obviously we've got to get past Cook. But like, if KMFO doesn't play or win, I mean, I think Z's got it in the bag. Honestly,
to be honest. I forgot who said it. I think it was Q, season one. I don't think Z's got the game style to win a Super Bowl in PML.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of. He's not flashy. He's not going to do anything exceptionally well. He's not going to cook up a play you've never seen before. He's not going to do something on defense you've never seen before.
But, I mean, he just won his last 15 straight. I mean, 16
straight. I know, but we've seen this before. I think he's a great regular season guy. I don't think his game translates.
We've never seen a season like this. We've never seen a season like this from Z. Ever.
I just don't think his game translates well to the playoffs. I don't know why. I think
think of it this way. Also look at it this way though. That's why I said until we get to the Super Bowl, you know, he's gotta play Madigy or Madigy, Codes, SP or KMFO. But he's about to play Fallen, who he's obviously on a different tier from, probably two tiers above. So that, you know, you're gonna do
him losing that game
there.
Too.
You know damn well you cannot see Z losing a fucking Fallen. And then he's got
to just shit on Fallen. You said Fallen's like the bitch of the postseason.
Anywho.
He is the bitch of postseason.
And then he goes on and he's gonna play Cook. Yes, Cook is exceptionally good at the game. But guess what? He's already seen Cook six times and it could be seven or eight, you know, depending if they played in the playoffs. So it's like they've already seen each other. You're gonna do nothing crazy there, but play your normal game like it's a fucking divisional game.
He's got a comfortable
path until he gets to the Super Bowl.
It's just how I feel personally. I feel like he's somebody that won't win a Super Bowl because
crazy. Z doesn't show up for one day. You know, so this narrative.
That's gotta be it, bro.
This narrative came now. We've been talking about Z being a regular season warrior for fucking cycles now.
Right. But we've never said that his game's not good enough. We just said he fucking makes mistakes when it happens. But no one's saying, like, hey, you don't have a game in a fucking playoff or to go on a playoff run.
No, I don't think he'll win a Super Bowl. I could see him going to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl.
You're saying he don't have the game style to win the Super Bowl.
I still don't understand what that means. You don't have to be flashy to win fucking games.
Based off of that criteria about him not being flashy or doing stuff you've never seen before, I don't think that's what wins you a Super Bowl, in my opinion.
I don't think he's got a – maybe I don't think he's got a deep bag like a lot of people that have won a Super Bowl have a deep bag, if that makes sense.
Let me ask you this one because this one person – kind of just puts this theory to shame. Mike has won two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Has he not?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that is so flashy and over the edge that he did to win a Super Bowl? Because when I play Mike, I feel
that's
like
true.
I'm playing what the fuck that dude's name, fucking Landry from the 1960s. Like, dude, understand how to run any fucking regular ass. He's running fucking regular ass fucking. He didn't do nothing crazy. He took Malik Willis, who's a quarterback, and put that bitch on his son and won football games. I mean, he's going to play the game. That's all. I mean, I don't think style has a lot to do. I will agree. We all agree right now that, and you can't say anything different because we've all said it all. But these various and worse men in 19, when he Super Bowls, that's why I think he won.
No, he
won 21. So there you go. It's just a thing. That's why I think if he plays anybody but KMFO, this is his year.
I think Bowles beats him, and I think ESP Dot beats him too.
Yes. I don't think it's a for sure thing.
No, none of it's a for sure thing. Let's be clear. But if you're doing odds,
I think it's his best shot.
Yeah, it's definitely better than KMFO. Maybe it's just an it factor. He doesn't have it. I don't know. But it's just his regular season. I mean, last cycle, he was what, top two in wins, maybe even number one in wins total on the cycle.
Number one.
Number one in wins total on the cycle in the regular season. And he couldn't figure out how to win the Super Bowl last season, last cycle.
This season just feels different. I mean, going 15 straight wins, you get fallen, and then you get to play Cook, who you're familiar with. Which, yes, Cook couldn't beat him, but again, he's familiar with it. So it's like he's not going to be out of his element or anything. It's just the way it lines up is just a good fucking ending.
Very much could be. I'm just
KMFO's got to play probably the third best player in the AFC while on vacation.
Yeah. Personally,
if Managi knocks him off,
I don't think he's getting past Cook, to be honest. Like you talked about tiers with Code. You talked about tiers with SP Dot and Codes. Like they're close, but I think it's the same thing with Cook and Z. I think they're close, but I think Cook is just on a tier above.
Cook, how did your two games go this cycle or this season already? You guys already played twice, obviously.
Yeah, we split the season series. But like Z and I have played a billion times. Like those games always go either way. Just like
that's what I'm saying. It's a coin flip. As long as he can get Cook.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I just don't think Z has that it factor. But I could maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe.
I just can't believe you waited until Z did not show up on the show to say this.
I could say it tomorrow. I could say it tomorrow, too. I just don't think he's got the it factor. We didn't talk about his playoff run because the only reason we're on this topic is because HD said he could see him winning the Super Bowl this year. He has that feeling about HD.
Super Bowl too. Like, why not?
No, but I'm saying that he fit the way, you know, he said the way I feel about good, he feels about Z. That's what led to this. This wasn't just unprompted.
We can't overlook the Lions. We just upset the fucking Saints.
Yeah.
But also to your point enough of like being flashy and shit. I mean, it's worked for Codes last year with the Bucks, kind of, because he still had TB12. But it's also hurt him, I feel like, more than it helps him. Not being flashy all the time is not always.
No, it's the not. Way to go. So I said flashy, and I think that was the wrong thing. Just having a deeper bag of I'm gonna say tricks, but not necessarily like trick plays, but having a deeper bag of stuff to go to when shit starts going left. Like some people have deeper bags than others. And I feel like Z has his bag and he's perfected his bag, but it's not as deep, if that makes sense. If I'm making sense.
Yeah, but when the Super Bowl is going to depend on matchups. That's why matchups always, you know, make fights, right? Cause like, what if he plays that dude and his bag is enough to beat the fuck out of whoever he's playing against?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Could be.
Like he may not need five different go-tos.
That's where I feel like KMFO comes into play, because obviously he'll play him when KMFO's home. That's the guy you're going to need your third, fourth read or play, you know, read on the play or fifth, fourth play.
Well,
to
fifth adjustment on the game.
Yeah, like that's the guy you're going to need. So, you know, if he were, like, that's the only guy, and again, you have an extra day because we got the Pro Bowl And since we're on a rush, we might actually get some games in. So, you know, you might have some extra time. But, like, that's to the point where you need to, hey, I need a third audible out of this. I need a fourth play out of this. I need to go, hey, I know he's going to cover my first and second read. I got to look back at the, you know, this backside dig or whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. And you, that's when you need to know. And obviously, yeah, that's a Super Bowl at that point. So, you know, you could use that as your argument. But at the same time, if he's playing Codes or Madigy, they're not going that deep. You're not going to have to dig that deep for those guys.
I mean, one thing I found.
Maybe Codes.
One thing I found in my games with KMFO is, you could, at least it works for me, because maybe I'm so like unorthodox with the shit I do. I was just I think for him, because he prepares so much for what you're going. So when I played him last time, I came out in man line, and I ran zone almost exclusively in man line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, when you play KMFO, like he is ready. Like he's
ready for what you do.
Yeah, like he's seen all the meta plays. Like he's seen all of that. Like he knows how to. But what he hasn't seen is some of the unorthodox defenses. Like, I'll run some really random defenses, and that'll throw him off. Like, every time I play KMFO, I feel like it throws him off of his normal read progression. Just because,
After the game and tell you, like, it should fuck him up. The problem is also with KMFO, he's a quick studier. So you do this shit, and then he figures it out in second or third quarter. Yeah. And you're like, well, damn, this game escalated quickly. And
you kind of got to do stuff that you're not comfortable with yourself.
I've never ran this play with this
setup, so, like, I know he's not going to expect it.
Yeah.
Or
you just make some, really aggressive adjustments. Like, you don't run a stall cover three. Like, you'll run cover three and make some adjustments through that cover three. But you don't have a stock coverage or a stock play. Because, like, he's played the CPU. When you play the CPU a lot, you see every play. Even the most random of plays. You see the plays, and you see the alignment pre-play of those plays. And that's where he will get you.
Yeah, you got to kind of have, like, a tale of two halves when you play him. The first half is something, and then the second half, you're going to have a total game plan and the way you set up your defense, the way the looks you're giving it is going to be totally different from the first half. Like D-Lloyd said, because it's all the same by the second, third, and fourth, he's going to be, you know, picking apart.
You kind of got to have two game plans, because if he catches on the first one, you could go immediately to your second half one, and then you got to have a backup second half game plan.
Yeah, it's a lot when dealing with him. But enough about that. Before we head out, I want to talk a little bit about the draft classes. Well, specifically season one draft. Kind of go over at least the first round of things. Caleb Williams was the first pick. Remember, it's Sauce Gardner, 99 overall cornerback with great abilities. He traded what? Two firsts and
I think it was a first that year. I thought it was two firsts that year, a mid and a late, and a first the next year.
So I think he traded the Breece Hall pick. I'm not sure for that, but he definitely had his own picks, and his only two picks were both in the 20s because he made playoffs both years.
He kept the Bears pick because that's he was trying to sell it when Hefe was out of town.
Oh, yeah, the Bears pick is what he traded Jonathan Allen for.
Okay. So Caleb Williams was the first overall pick. Started at an 80 overall, up to a 92 overall, still an X-factor. Might lose it this season. Didn't have the greatest of stat lines total. Did not throw the 30 picks, so he won't lose it because of that. But Greeny was that he might not keep it because he didn't put up decent numbers. Second overall was Marvin Harrison. He's up to a 90 overall. With all the suspensions, all the injuries, still able to get him up 8 overall in that system. He's still a star dev, though. He's never really got past the star dev.
It's all about how he contorts his body, though.
All about how he contorts his body. Drake May,
because he was the number one player in the draft class, right?
Yes, he was. 82 overall.
Is it the injuries that stopped him from getting the dev again?
I think he didn't get a dev from the jump, first of all, because he spammed him. Yeah. I feel like that was kind of JT's punishment. He just didn't give him the dev.
I don't think JT manipulated it at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's just probably the luck because he had all the points. I mean, he had like the points for it.
He didn't have that many. I think he had like six or seven, but it wasn't like, oh, he had 10 enough. Points and he's
so let's think of it this way. You're going to tell me the last three years he came out as an X Factor superstar, and this one year that he spammed, he didn't get it. That's not convenient. You know, that's
not convenient. But I'm not going to say I think it was like.
Think that it was part of a punishment. That's why he didn't get it. As for the dev games, if FFA stops missing games, he might actually get one. Or, you know, he kind of spams them a little bit. And to the point where the mid-season rules and stuff, so he's kind of got to slow himself down. I think that plays a part in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know JT, you know, tells Hefe thank you, but I don't. I don't
so
I don't think that was like a deliberate. I don't think that's like a deliberate. Like, oh, let me get
you. I'll say it. JT's a cheater.
I'm with him. You know what? I didn't think so. Now I'm with him because JT
isn't it convenient? JT got X Factor Marvin Harrison last year, and now this year he couldn't get him.
Yeah,
and
he could. The Bears picked him with the Panthers pick.
But you gotta think this was the year JT didn't like me because I pulled out of the trade and I got a superstar. So I don't think he
that's
like
the cover up, bro. That's the cover up.
You really didn't like Marvin Harrison.
This is one of the things like with the DDT rule that like these are one of the things that pissed me off, but obviously this is the point of it. It's just like I just said, Marvin Harrison, the last four cycles or whatever, you know, however long we've been able to draft him,
he's always superstar
or X Factor, and now he's just like you're a star, and he could be star the fucking cycle. That's what I'm saying. That's the shitty part. Like, I think I drafted someone with like 9 fucking points last cycle, and I think he got normal, and I'm like, bro. What?
JT, I think it's time you do that HD post with 27 likes. He's out of here. 27 thumbs up or checks. He's out of here, bro. Put that up.
DDT's always been a modern, man.
That's one of the things, Neff, we can read chat. We get it. That's one of the things about the DDT that's kind of frustrating is drafting the guys like, you know. Are superstars, and they're just like, not this year.
I feel like crying because this is all the moment we've been waiting for. AGD's not getting a team next season.
This is such a beautiful moment. I'll be fine in NCAA with my
baby. The Pac-3.
You ain't getting a team there either.
He can't read because he says you're not getting a PML team. He didn't say a PCL team.
PML, DCA, QAP.
Do we have a name for
PCL, the Premier College League?
Speaking of PCL, go somebody that wishes they torn their PCL and never had to play for the team that drafted them. Drake May was selected at number 3 overall. He started
one of the worst transition games I've ever heard.
He started as a 77. He's now at 85 overall, and he might be replaced by Arch Manning.
And you got to factor in that he was a superstar drafted and lost the dev.
And a superstar, and now a star.
I don't think he gets replaced by Arch. I think he moves that pick. I don't think he'll
He's trying to. If he's replaced, it won't be by Arch. It'll be whatever he gets from that pick.
I mean, it may not be a lateral move because maybe Arts comes in with an ability, but I mean, that's what May came in
it's
with.
It's a lateral move. It is. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
So, based off the trade that I saw that he's getting, it's not a lateral move at all, honestly.
Future Atlanta Falcon, Drake May. 85 overall at this point.
What are you willing to give up for Drake, man?
He wanted AJ Terrell, bro. That's what. And I said,
You should entice him with Max Johnson. That's how you get him.
Oh, yeah.
So again, the question was, what are you willing to pay? Not what did he ask for? What are you willing to pay?
For Drake
A fair price? What do you think is a fair price if he came to you and said, hey, make an offer for Drake May since you're interested in him? What do you think your price should be? Honestly.
Based on the draft picks I have, I don't have the fair price. Unless you hold value in the first round next year. That's the best draft pick I have. So there's not really much value there. I think the only valuable piece that makes sense for him is AJ Terrell. And I don't think that's a one-for-one swap. I would say he would have to give something else, not a A-tier player or a B-tier player, more like a C-tier player, preferably in the defensive backfield, kind of like a replacement player.
Well, if he has to add something, then that's not a just straight up fair trade. Then. I'm talking about what are you giving up? Like, hey, Drake May, he's worth, let's see, what, like a second round pick, a third, a first, like a mid first, a late first.
If I had the picks, I would say he's worth a first, no doubt. Maybe even a first and a third.
Like me and you've talked about it. Like, he's super similar to Ritter. He's super similar to Ritter. And Ritter,
the only thing is Ritter be paid. Ritter needs to be paid. That's the issue.
I don't care. That's not – Miles doesn't even think about that shit. I gave up two seconds for him. Is that technically just a first? Like, how do you guys value, like, bunched picks? Like, is a two and a four, worth a first? Or, like, how
– It depends on where – to me, it depends on, like, where it's at. And, like, obviously – to a certain extent, like, who the fuck is in the draft? Like, if you got a guy you know can, like, change your shit and he'll be there at that pick, then obviously you'll value that pick, you know, probably a lot more. But I think it really just depends. Like,
let's say Drake May in this draft class. The draft class coming in, you know, you got your picks. What are you offering for Drake May, dude?
First, no doubt, because I don't think this is a great draft. I haven't even looked at it.
Okay. So Nev says just the first.
What do you mean you haven't even looked at it, but you don't think it's a great draft class?
Because I say that, but that's based on word of mouth. Like, D-Lloyd said it's not a great draft class.
I mean, honestly, also, you can go based off Gen Chat. No one gives a fuck about this class except for Arch Manning and Nico. No one gives a fuck. The class isn't that good. That's how you know.
I haven't been through everybody, so I don't really know how everybody. I just know the top couple guys. It was nobody like at five, right? Like realistically, both quarterbacks will be gone just from the top guys, right? And I'm like, okay, who else is there? There's like that guard. There's like that D tackle, but like those will be okay picks maybe. But it ain't like shit that about get me hard as fuck. Like hell yeah, boys, see that guard I got.
That's what me and Cook were telling Miles because he's like, you know. He's like, I don't want to just trade the pick for nothing. I'm like, obviously, you know, we all agree. That makes sense. But at the same time, we're like, if you kept that pick, there's nobody there that you're like, yeah, I'm happy I took him with the first pick. Because obviously he doesn't need Arch. So he would go another direction. There's no like, super freak fucking, you know, receivers or DBs or like, nobody's worth that first pick besides either Arch or Nico.
Well, to be fair, we don't know enough without the combine numbers, like CB just said.
Yeah, you'll know for sure when because you know the elite to great to elite, you'd be like, oh hell yeah, and that shit will change if it's just a bunch of greats. If that's just all elite, then you're like, oh shit, like,
yeah. When Nico runs a 4-3-3, bro, it's going to be crazy.
And we don't know awards, anything like that. So when I look at it, I'm like, okay, just looking at it from the beginning, I'm like, okay, I'd like Nico over Arch. But you know Arch, he's at Texas. He may win a championship, but when, you know what I mean? Like,
CFB last year.
Yeah, like coming out of college, I mean, coming out of high school, Arch was number one, Nico number two. So, I mean, they both should get the same amount of points there. So, and then you're just like, okay, what's going to happen in the sim? That could be, you know, the deciding factor. Or what's my play style? Do I need a running quarterback? And if so, you may need to go get Nico over Arch.
Nobody thinks about that. Running. That's sad, bro. I know you do. Like, we talk about it all the time. Like, go back. go back to CEO when I was screaming for him to get Drew Aller over Shador. And it's just like, guys don't fucking think of that. And then they're like, oh, why doesn't Shador work for me? Because you're a fucking idiot. That's why.
Hey, be nice.
So, I mean, I think as terms of value, I guess this depends on where you're at. So if I'm trading up, I pick five. So if I'm trying to trade up for the one, right, or two, I'm not giving up as much because I'm giving you five. So I'm just like, bro, you dropping down two or three fucking spots. I'll throw in the second or third or some shit like that. But, like, I'm not giving you a bunch of ones and a bunch of play. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't. Because, like, if you're trading down, that means you probably don't want a quarterback. So then if I'm giving you five, I mean, you still going to get a top three pick, essentially, because the first two are more likely going to be quarterbacks. So that's how I look at it. Like, bro, it's not there. But, like, if I just have the general value in general, it's like, if I'm trading a top half of a pick, I'm getting a one. And if I'm falling out, you know what I mean, out the top pick, I'm getting probably two ones. You know what I mean? To be honest.
That's what he tried to get. He told Brahma he wanted two ones, Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, and was it Marzi Smith or something like that? I don't know. His defense.
That's way too much.
But, I told him, I'm like, dude, you're not getting CD on that, but you could probably get Diggs in the two.
I have a trade draft calculator. Let me see if I can find it.
I'll tell you right now, Miles is definitely not. He's looking at what A-Rod got, and he's going to realize that season one compared to season four draft. Sure, you should still get something pretty decent for the first overall, but you're not getting that Sauce Gardner and three firsts and whatever else it was that was involved. You're not getting that.
He could have got Diggs and the two firsts, but which maybe even the D tackle. But you're not getting that. You're not getting CD out of that.
But
there's no.
It also depends. It depends on the person you ask and like you know how it should go. Because when that trade initially happened, I said that was way too much to move up for the first pick at the time. Even then, I was like, bro, what the fuck's wrong with Greeny, bro? I am not trading all this. I'm like, you gave up Sauce, bro. What the fuck? Okay, here, AZ. So according to this little draft trade calculator, like little values, just in general, pick 1 through 16 is worth a first and a first or a first and a future first, right? Pick 17 through 32 is worth a second and a future first. Second round is worth a future first. A later second round is a later second and a future second. Top half of round three is a future two, and then bottom half of round three is a late third and a future third. And then
I promise no one is down. Is that
but nobody's is that going off of this. Is off of Madden. What they're thinking, Madden. No. It's a kind of like a general thing just for Madden. But
that's kind of how I think of it when people are like, oh, you know, I want to. You know, we're looking at the draft.
It's
like,
just,
oh,
it's just
hey,
a
you know,
guideline.
I gotta
it's just a guideline of like this is kind of the range you're kind
well,
of.
Well, guys are at. Like, hey, I'm moving this fifth round pick coming up, and it's like, okay, well, give me your future fourth then. Like that's how I think of it. It's like, all right, well, if you want to move up right now, you're going to give me that fourth for next year.
In general, a future pick because you're losing that year, you know what I mean? Isn't that right? Then it's typically like a round less. So if I'm giving you a fucking two. It'll be a one next year. If I'm giving you a three now, it'll be a two next year. You know what I mean? That's my general.
I think some of the guys think like that. I think guys like us and like JT think like that, but then like the other guys are like, I'll just give you my fifth next year, and I'll give you my fifth next year and my sixth. So I'm just like, I want the fourth.
Yeah.
So I not to keep going on this.
Yeah, you go ahead with Caleb.
I got 4 minutes.
We are
at
3:32. What the fuck? So Jared Verse was the next pick, the Steelers draft, up to 85 overall at this point, star dev. Xavier Worthy, 83 overall, normal star dev.
Did you say Jared Verse?
Yeah.
Jared Verse was before I thought
that was the guy. Draft? Who's the guy that fucking A-Rod accidentally drafted? I thought that
Jared
was
Jared Verse.
That was Jared Verse.
The first – I thought you just said the Steelers.
No, I said that's the steal of the draft class. That's what I said.
Oh, the steal of it. Yeah, you mumbled, so it sounded like Steelers draft.
No, that was the steal
you got,
of the draft
too much
class.
Saliva.
Yeah.
Dude, that was the first fucking draft? I thought that was last year.
Nah. I'm surprised Verse isn't a little bit higher. tell you the truth. Not verse, verse. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm tripping.
Worthy?
He took the season off. I mean,
and Worthy regressed. He was a superstar year one. He went to star year two.
James Williams started at 83 overall, up to 82 overall star. Kool-Aid is now an 89 overall superstar. He started as a 76.
Bro, he be locking us up.
Brock Bowers was an 80 overall. He's a 91 now superstar. JT.
To all yes, my Lalo. Yes, sir, baby. Yes,
sir. Started as an 80 overall. He is a 76 overall. He is a 90 overall superstar now.
Can't get a sack to save his life, bro.
So the last three picks just told you like what the value is in devs. It's not the ability, because you're going to get shit abilities with these guys. But you just said Kool-Aid's an 89, Brock's a 91, and JT's a 90. When you get these young guys with the devs, that accelerates their growth tenfold. Because you have James Williams, who's at 82. Worthy's at 83, is no longer a star. But these superstars, you know, especially when you hit that sweet window, 21 to 22, I think is the best window for XP right now with our current setup. Then, you know, that's when you get a guy that goes from 76 to 90 or whatever JT went.
Yeah, Kalen.
Two seasons to go, by the way.
Kalen King, 83 overall now. Obviously, a Jags pick, not gonna really amount to nothing. Quinn Ewers, Giants, started as a 70, is now an 88.
Yeah, that's
very impressive.
Yeah, he was so young. Yep,
he was very. He was 20 at the draft. He was a 20-year-old rookie.
21 now. He's still in that window to just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Burns throwing fucking 50 picks with him, so it's like he's still fucking going up too.
Dallas Turner, 21-year-old, 74, now at 87. Cook just mentioned how good his time is. Miles Jones, the laughing stock of the first round of season one, the 6'4" corner who has speed.
Not to everyone.
67. Yeah, I think overall, only you. No, it was JT mainly. 67 overall when drafted is now at 81. So he's up there now. Odunze is a 87 now, started as a 75. Keon Coleman was a 71, now a 86. This is Miami Dolphins. This is my pick. This is his pick. The right tackle started as a 75, is now a 77, doing his great work there. Troy Franklin started yes, as a 74, now a 91. That's what dev stories get you right there.
He just was a superstar at the gate, wasn't he?
No, I think he was a star.
Troy Franklin was normal.
Oh, so you got two
No. Star. I think he was a star. I think you're right.
So he got up a superstar in the dev.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. You had Barrett Carter. This is the Jalen Waddle pick. Barrett Carter, a middle linebacker, 71 overall, now a 73 overall. Shout out to Miami Dolphins making most of those picks.
Good show. I'll talk to y'all boys tomorrow.
Later, D-Lloyd. Actually, before we got 90 overall, Mendon out of New Orleans. Braylon Allen up to 90 overall from a 71. Who else is there? That is a big name.
He went from a 68 to an 85. He's a superstar.
Let me see this. So I want to. What I'm going to do is actually take a look at 2025. So the final trade for Jalen Waddle. I think it was the two first for Jalen Waddle. That's it. That's it, right?
Another pick. Well, like we know Debo didn't draft well. Like Debo could have gotten like 1,000 picks and not drafted well. Like, but Debo not being a good drafter, like he would have fucked up any pick.
He skipped the draft.
Was it just the two first round picks?
I think
bro, you made the trade.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you asking us for? But
it's literally trade.
Yeah, I think he's like a second round pick too. But I mean, look, regardless, like you know, you could flex about how you trade Jalen Waddle for garbage. But
I just like to go back and look at certain trades and like plug in names to the draft picks that were used.
Not with yours, crazy.
Yeah, like we know Debo drafted garbage.
You snipped D. Lloyd's. I gave him a first for Henry.
Yeah,
and he so got, you gave what do you got? JT from that pick, a superstar, 90 overall D lineman,
91 overall superstar.
My friend,
HD is a good friend in the end. That's all that says.
And what is it? Kieron got the goose pick for Malik Nabers, who is a 77 overall right now. Meanwhile, Brock Bowers is a 91 overall superstar. Good shit, Goose.
Yeah.
But that's no. also a thing where, I mean, that was a bad trade, but it's also like, is Goose going to draft well? Probably not. So it's double whammy there.
Yeah, well, JT just posted two guys in the chat. One, they started at like 66s or 76s, and they're 77s right now. And I'm like, yeah, well, one was CEO and the other one,
that's
one
neighbors,
was CEO and the other one was Goose. So what'd you expect?
James Williams got traded for BJ Ojolari, who was 124. It was 124 and 2.5.
124 got traded to the Lions. I think that was in the trade up for Quinn Ewers. And that ended up being
in hindsight, we all laughed at him for that. But in hindsight, I mean, the trade worked. I mean, Quinn Ewers being up to an 88 insane.
Yeah, that's a solid trade.
It didn't change his. He's still throwing, 40 picks. But I mean, and you know, just looking at the player, that was a great move to trade up for a quarterback like that.
Yeah, I think it was a solid move by him. I'm just trying to find. Yeah, so it was 1-for-1, pick 8 for Derrick Henry. So JT basically for Derrick Henry.
No.
Sounds like a good trade to me.
So it was this year's first, next year's first, and the current second. So it was whoever he got in the second round.
Doesn't even matter. We know he sucks.
He skipped the draft. So, I mean, he even talked about it just pointless. He didn't even draft the CPU.
73 overall, now a 75. God damn, did he really fumble that?
Yeah, that was the draft that I was on his ass for fucking. He was skipping it, but playing his other three leagues. that was the draft that he's like, I'm not around, sorry. And then he loaded up an hour later to play his fourth and inches or fucking hot and cold league, whatever the fuck it was. But yeah, dude, you really don't have any time.
Who was that second? Jordan Travis. So wow. You
a QB
you,
that doesn't play because he went and got Drew Allen next year.
So
yeah, man.
Just looking at some of the other draft. I just wanted to take a look at the draft classes and revisiting some of those trades are pretty fun to see at the end who actually won, who actually lost, and I think that Derek trade is close. Call, but getting a 91 overall defensive
close end. Call.
I mean, let's be honest here. I'll keep saying it's on Bloomer phase. Derrick Henry was a top five back the following 2 years. So it's like it worked out. Did I win? No, but did Henry actually like regress or play bad? No, he didn't. So I mean, it's more even than anything. Like more than someone win.
Yeah, I mean, you made a win-now move for a win-now team, so you could call it a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect drama to win 12 games. And I didn't expect me to only win fucking 6.
Yeah, like the Eagles side, it is what it is. But for the Titans side, like, that was a home run.
That's a home run, yeah. Given his age and his regression. Everybody in PML, have a great day. We'll catch you next.